Good evening. Can everyone hear me? Well, can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, great. I'm gonna give it a couple more minutes just to see if anybody's gonna sign in. We'll get started about 6:35.
Okay.
This meeting is being recorded.
Yeah, so welcome to the Home Care and Assisted Living Don't You Cohort. 6 months of group and individual training, support, and accountability. Let me get this out of my way. Week one, we're going to talk a little bit about business establishment and just some of the basic business stuff that you need to have in place. To have, you know, to start, to be positioned to start running a business. So we're gonna be covering, it's pretty basic stuff, and I'm gonna give you guys a chance to tell me a little bit about where you're currently at in your business. If you're, you know, just getting started, been in business for 6-7 months, couple years, whatever the case may be, I wanna know so I can better assist each and every one of you guys. So please tell me, and don't be afraid to share, speak up, and comment, ask questions and stuff like that as we go along. So first thing I want to do is I would like everyone to just hop on, unmute yourself, and just introduce yourself. Tell us a little bit about, you know, who you are, how you, you know, came to wanting to, you know, start a business in this industry. And, you know, that's it, you know. So feel free to go ahead. No order.
I'll go first. Hi, my name is Siobhan. And I started my journey actually a couple years ago, just researching different businesses for my husband and I start. We have a background in real estate renovations. We spend a lot of time helping people in different, you know, aspects of life. So this type of business.
I think I may have muted you on accident. I'm sorry. I thought that was a different microphone. I'm sorry. I think I cut her off while she was talking. I'm sorry about that. I was trying to mute. Hello? Can you hear me?
We here. I don't know.
Yeah, she was sharing, and I muted her. I thought I was muting someone else, and I think I muted her while she was talking. But go ahead.
Yeah, so I'm at the beginning of opening our business. Our long-term goal is to open several assisted living here in the Fort Worth.
Okay. So she's at the beginning of her business. She says she's been, sound like she says she's been at it for 2 years, but still like the early stages. So hopefully we can help her.
Well, my name is Jerry,
and
I just jumped in today for the first time. I've been seeing it online. Last year, I was online looking for how to start a group home. I am a nurse, And I used to work in this floor where people from nursing home, assisted living, you name it, the ER doesn't want to deal with them. They send them to my floor. And some of the people that come through, they're just lonely, being home alone. Some of them come with bed sore. Some of them come with malnutrition. And as I care for them, and I'm like, these people could be well taken care of in a happy, home-like environment with other people their age, eating proper nutritious meal instead of spending time in the ER, then keep them in the hospital for 3 days and get the money. And then they go back and they come back next week later. And I was just saying that. And there's another colleague. She's like, well, yeah, why don't you open a group home and take care of them? I'm like, you know what? I should. And then I went in the pursuit of looking for how to open a group home.
Wow. Just like that, started, huh?
Just like that. I
saw a problem and you wanted to solve it.
Absolutely. I started digging with Andy in the group home sector, and it was the craziest experience of my life. I am a veteran. I did my email trying to start to reaching out social worker, and I was so excited. I sent the email out before I had a place, and my start ringing like crazy. Now I'm sitting here, people calling me, telling me about their kids and their shelter and family. And I come home just crying because I'm like, I don't have a home yet. I get all these people home, and I said, I will be opening in December. And by August, people was calling me. Then when I actually actively start looking, then I keep getting the back no from the landlord. And at that time, it was right in the middle of COVID. I did a forbearance in my house. So now I have to get out of forbearance and see if I can buy another property. It was all coming at me at once. So I stepped back and talked to a friend who have a property that was going to be vacant. Oh, sadly, because of COVID, the tenant played the COVID game. They wouldn't move out. So now I have to call back all the social workers, tell them, I'm sorry, I can't help them right now, which you can imagine being the most frustrating thing in my life, because I'm like, there's a need. I know I can do this. I just can't get my hand on a place. So make long story short, I'm like, it's all about money. If I had the money, I'll be able to just buy another house. And lo and behold, I'm not the type to sit around and not doing nothing. I went back to school. I'm like, I'm just going to be NP. And when I graduate in 18 months, I'll get more money than I can get me a second place.
Wow.
And, you know, that takes longer. I'm telling you, it's like something's nagging. You know, when you go to sleep and this
keeping you awake. I definitely understand that.
I am burning.
That's a very amazing story. Wow. Now, I can't wait to see how it unfolds
right now. And I call a friend. I get all everything lined up. I open the account, get my IN number, register with the state. Then, because of all the, I think I told you the other day, when I look at the required, I'm in Massachusetts, they ask for you to open assisted living. I'm like, oh, great. That's not, I won't be able to come up with all this information and policy and procedure. I have no clue how to get all this thing going. And so I'm like, well, let's do the group home first. Then since there's no license required, that way I can make some money. And then later as it grow, then I can keep going through the process, getting all my paper together. Finally, in this last November, my friend landlord tenant finally moved out, and I get the place. As we speak right now, I have a place set up, fully furnished, but nobody's coming in. I said nobody's coming in. When I reach out back to some social workers, the VA have certain criteria that they looking for private living arrangement, not shared.
Okay.
So I'm still in that process of sending email.
Oh, this is the Boston situation? Is this
The house, it's expensive in the area. Yeah. One bedroom, like $1,750. So when you tell someone you're going to share one with somebody for $750, $800, they're like, huh? Why am I sharing a room? I'm paying all that. It's it's open as we speak right now. If you guys know anyhow, I can get some leads to fill this house while I go to this course. I didn't take too much time. So here I am. I've been going around and I see your stuff. I watch some stuff on YouTube. Now, you know, I'm just going to go ahead, spend the money and then get it done, get it over with. Because the mission statement, the beginning of all this, I even have a website. It's all about assisted living. But yeah. I was trying to play it to a group home. And part of me say, you know, if you want to do this thing, the new year, just jump up and do it. So I purchased the course and here I am. Hopefully you get me going.
Great. That's great. Anyone else want to share?
Yes, I can go. My name is Adam. I'm also at the beginning of my journey. I'm in the Gettysburg area. I have some exposure to the industry. I work for a home health care in Massachusetts. And looking into starting with a ALF, you know, and then moving on to, you know, home care later on. So.
Okay, great. So I guess that, I mean, I don't really hear, I think I heard, you know, enough about everybody's situation as far as where they're at in the business. You two are trying to get assisted living. She has the property and just needs residence at this point, a license and residence. You're in Maryland looking to get started. So tonight's training, we're gonna jump right into it. It's so the 12 areas of balance, the daily GPS, and entity formation, and business plan creation. So some of this stuff is like personal, like really personal stuff, like how you kind of manage your day and think about your goals and outline your vision and stuff like that. And I had to include this stuff just because it's very important to me. And I think it should be something that people prioritize, especially in the beginning or starting their business, when it comes to like just having proper balance of how you're gonna live, the vision for what you want your life to look like. And then, you know, actually having a step-by-step plan for how to get there is very important. I'm really regimented like that. So I just wanted to share that, you know, that's what, you know, share some of the things that worked for me. And again, this is like more personal stuff before we get into the business stuff, but you'll see exactly what I'm saying. But it's definitely not something that I just wanted you guys to overlook, but something to take pretty serious. So the 12 areas of balance, these are the first six. You can see health and fitness, intellectual life, emotional life, your character, your spiritual life, love and relationships. And again, this is some personal stuff. And I just was compelled to put it in here because this is something that I kind of deal with. And it's constantly changing and growing and evolving. So it just helps me answering these questions, going through this stuff. And I've been doing this thing for years. It just kind of helps me, you know, kind of realign when I'm kind of losing focus or I'm kind of like straying from like my bigger goals and my bigger vision. And just the reason for you know, that's behind some of the things I do on a daily basis. So we don't have to read them all or go through them or anything like that. This has been recorded. It'll be uploaded into the group as well. And you have access to the recording and the slides. But like I said, these are some of the things that you know, just want to answer and kind of think about as you're getting started. One thing I constantly run into is people just in a hurry to like grow, scale, get bigger, even when even if they've had some success already. It's like I struggle with this as well. I'm always pushing myself, constantly pushing. And then it's like, okay, what are you pushing towards? Like, it's like, how much is enough? Or are you happy? Is your life You know, have you created a lifestyle that's, you know, comfortable and satisfying and, you know, something that you can be happy with, opposed to, you know, just pushing and pushing for more and more? Is that more and more going to increase the happiness? And that's what I've been like kind of growing into. You know, the older I get and the longer I've been an entrepreneur, and it's been going on almost a decade now. I haven't had a job since I was in my since I was in my 20s, and I'm 41. So I've been an entrepreneur for a long time. And it's like, you know, eventually you have to, like, you know, you just start looking at stuff, and it's like wondering, like, why am I doing a lot of the things that I'm doing? And, you know, is it in alignment with, like, happiness and things that I really want and things that I value? So parenting vision, your social life, your financial life, your career, your quality of life, and your life visions. And I guess I'll say one more thing on this is that when you can easily get, like, on the right, like an entrepreneurial rat race. And it's like a lot of people, you know, we hear about, you know, like rich dad, poor dad, get out the rat race. All, like, the way people talk about jobs is like slavery and all this, you know, like you're a slave, you're working 9 to 5, it's like just working for the weekend. And, you know, I get that in the beginning, there's certain things that people do say that, you know, motivate you and inspire you to start your own business. But being an entrepreneur, I don't care what nobody say, at what level, whatever level that they're on, when you have so many different moving parts that you're responsible for, and especially when you start having employees and clients and different things like that, and liabilities, and, you know, you're managing money that you never, you know, amounts of money that you probably never managed before, you'll begin to, you got to remember that there's a certain level of stress to come with that. Just like if you're working a job, it's a certain level of stress that comes with it. So I want to remind people, or just kind of enlighten people, to say, like, hey, you know, starting a business is like, I feel like for me to this point, is about creating a lifestyle, creating a business or some type of, you know, finding something that you enjoy doing that can fund the lifestyle and your life vision that you see for yourself. And it's just that simple. And it doesn't have to, I feel like that's a very personal goals or personal decisions or personal vision that should be, you know, about. It's something personal. It shouldn't be driven by like, you know, material shit, you know, things that you see on TV or what other people got, or, you know, other things like that, which I feel like can very easily happen, and which I've seen, and I've done it with myself for years. I was just pushing myself to like prove points to people who may have said things to me when I was younger, even my grandmother, like just different weird stuff was driving me. And it wasn't necessarily increasing my happiness. So that's it. I want to just get that out the way. Hopefully that wasn't too corny and boring. So we're going to keep it going. And I'm gonna talk a little bit about how I manage my days. I used to do these on paper, and I highly recommend that you guys start doing them. This is called the two-page productivity planner. If you have the business in the box, you've seen this before. If you ran across it in the business in the box, and I know I've shared it on my socials quite a few times, a few months ago, and then probably some years ago as well. I've been using this two-page productivity planner. I can almost do it in my head now, and I have it on my phone. So what it does is, and what it forces me to do, is to write down the top projects that I have for the day. And it's usually one or two. It's never really three. And then I'm really trying to, you know, I write down 5 things that I must do to move this project forward. The people I need to reach out to, the list of people I have to, you know, that I have to reach out to, no matter what, I have to communicate with for the day, and people I'm waiting on, list of people who I need something from to move forward. And this could be a whole range of different things, whether it's like my personal stuff, like domestic stuff, like doctors and all that stuff. But I put everything on this so I don't miss anything. And then what it also does, it helps me to prioritize my agenda. Like, it's so easy. The reason why y'all are on this call, because you guys prioritize my agenda over yours. Like, you were looking at one point in your day, you were like, man, I really enjoy what this guy is saying, da, 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 da. Like you were off your agenda and like all the way listening to what I was saying, and I was pulling you in. And that's how you're here. And I know that probably sounds weird, but that's what you want to be able to, sometimes you want to make sure you're not being done like that in ways that aren't helpful or productive for you. And that's what happens when we wake up in the morning, grab our phones, get in our email, get on our socials, get in our text message. As soon as that happens, now we're on somebody else's agenda. We're reacting. We're not, you know, we're not active. We're not, you know, we're not the ones, we're reacting to somebody's email. We got to respond to this and this and that. So the priorities that we have and the goals that we're setting, they're getting pushed aside. If you ever wonder why people say, man, I've been trying to start a business for, you know, I've been trying to start this company for 6 months or 2 years, I've been trying, because every time they get serious about it, or, you know, they start to plan it or get, you know, take some steps forward, other people's agendas, other people's visions, other people's priorities, you know, gets in the way, and then they're off into that, those people's agendas. So this productivity planner has always been there to help me stay on my agenda and, you know, kind of keep it, prioritize the thing that I have important. Now I'm there for other people, but I'm always focused and prioritizing the projects that I'm working on. And that's very important. And then on the second page, it says priorities, the main things I must complete today, no matter what. List of the priorities and the to-dos that must be accomplished today, and do these things before getting trapped in your inbox and other people's agendas. It's right there. So, this is, I took away the other place, the other space. I had a slide where I just showed you how it looked on my phone. But what you can do, what I will do, I'll post that thing if you want into the chat, and you could just cut and paste it out and then put it in your phone if you want, like on a notepad. So I use Evernote. So I have the productivity planner on my phone, and I just duplicate it every day and then do it like that. And I stay on top of my goals and my daily projects and tasks and stuff like that. But anyways, moving on to entity formation. Like I said, we're going to be discussing some business establishment stuff here. As you can see, we have LLC, S Corp, the resident agent, and then the operating agreement. And what I suggest for new companies, and by no means am I an accountant, so this is something you could just take. You know, this isn't like me instructing you. This is just telling you what I've done. Definitely reach out to an accountant. I can't be on here giving out like this would be considered accountant advice. So I'm not doing that. I'm just telling you what I've done, and these are the options. But I started out with an LLC, and then my account moved me into an S Corp. And because we grew and we started making a little bit more money, and for some reason, you know, it was just better to use the S Corp and to also use the S Corp to start paying us directly. So we were getting paid from our company and not just being like taking the money from the LLC for ourselves. It was more, she wanted to make it more official, obviously, as we grew. So we were moved into an S Corp. And then a resident agent. A lot of people don't understand the concept behind a resident agent. So the resident agent is the only public person on the account, on the LLC, on the documents. So that could be a lawyer, that could be you, that could be anybody. And then the owners, their name could be somewhere else that's not on public record. The resident agent is the point of contact for if anybody has a reason to reach out to your company. And they go through like the state's websites and stuff like that. They'll get the information of the resident agent, their name and their address. I don't think it's a phone number on there, but that's who that is. And one thing I want to just, I threw in there is the operating agreements. It's just because I hear a lot of times we're coming on, people are asking about having partnerships and having these starting companies with the different people that they may know, or, you know, doing partnerships with, you know, starting companies with people, multiple people. And I just want to make sure that everybody is aware that when you're starting a company and you want to have a partner, and it's not somebody you know, it's outside of your family, or it's not just spouse, you definitely want to have an operating agreement. And you want to have an attorney look at what you guys are doing and really understand that, you know, the equity splits and who's what's the investments and how's it going to be structured, and make sure all of this information is included in your operating agreement. I just don't want to hear any, you know, I just hear a lot of people talking about, you know, they want to do this and that with a partner and not really understand it. But like, as soon as I ask them like one or two questions, they're like, I don't know, or we haven't discussed that. So make sure you have an attorney present and you have an operating agreement in place. And we do have one in the business in the box. So there's one available. I think it's a single member though. But it can easily be transformed into a traditional operating agreement. So these are the two different, when you're thinking about creating a business plan, these are some of the elements that go, you know, that you have to have. And for me, I didn't have a business plan. I didn't need one in the beginning because I wasn't like, I tried to put together a business plan, you know, go to the SBA and, you know, try to get some kind of loan or some kind of grant, you know, because I was starting off so small and I had very little knowledge of, you know, just how to run a business period, that, you know, I didn't even really go too far with that. So I didn't, in the early stages of my company, have a business plan, but I'm definitely recommending that you guys start to develop yours now, especially the people who are, you know, everyone who's on the call, who even if you aren't looking to possibly getting financed or reaching out for lending or anything like that, it's always good to have a clear picture of what you want your business to look like, in the direction you'll be going in. And you want to be able to explain it, you know, even casually when you're talking about it, that's always helpful to talk about your business. And it'll help you, you know, get clearer about it and get good feedback. But putting together a traditional or a lean startup plan is always just a great thing to do, so you can have a clear idea of what direction you're going in. When you're looking for financing, you're definitely going to have a business plan, even if it's like a private lender, not even like a traditional bank. Even if you know, you're going to like somebody you may know, who maybe want to throw you 10, 15 grand in support or whatever it is, maybe want to invest, get some equity. You always want to have something on paper and just to show that you're serious. And a little later on, we had to have business plans when we got into getting some financing and with the assisted livings, it was even a state requirement. So we had to eventually get into developing business plans. So what we have here is executive summary, company description, market analysis, organization, service. This is all pretty basic stuff, and I'm sure you guys have seen this stuff quite a bit. So the lean startup plan, key partnerships, key activities, key resources, value proposition, customer relationships, customer segment, and revenue streams. This is more of a like one page type thing where, you know, you could just have it like on a, you know, just kind of like pass it out almost when you're like networking and trying to get some funding or some funding from more like private lenders or, you know, like angel investors and people like that, or just people when you're networking through like different, however you network, you know, this is something that you can just kind of have on hand, opposed to walking around with a whole business plan, you know, multiple pages or, you know, some big file. This is something that that they've been using. And this is something that's big in Silicon Valley, like, you know, startup companies and stuff like that. So this is another way that you can have a business plan to present as you're moving along with your company. Okay. Company description, details the problems your business solves, list out the consumers your company plans to serve. Like all of this stuff based on home care, we already know all this stuff. like the one lady was saying earlier, I don't remember your name. She was talking about how she went from problem to solution so quickly, and was actually actively trying to solve it, like finding real solutions to a problem that she was experiencing at work. And that's always a great way to start a business, a great reason to start a business. And when you're creating a company description, those type of stories or that narrative, you know, people can really relate to. So when you're creating a company description to have a story like that and to have someone, you know, even not the whole, you know, you don't have to go so far into it, but still, you know, people can relate to that more than just, you know, blanket, you know, just words on paper that don't really resonate, just, you know, more technical stuff. And same with your consumers, as you're telling your story, as you're, you can also be, you know, identifying your consumers as well. So just letting it, you know, let it be known in the company description exactly how you got to where you got to, but not, you know, not only just in, you know, technical ways, but like actually explaining, you know, the way she did about her story, like her company narrative. When I first got started, and even still to this day, I still will deploy some of my corporate like espionage. It's like corny, but it's funny that, you know, I really take close looks at what other companies are doing, especially the ones that are like really close to me in my market. I'm always looking at what they're doing. I'll go through their whole sales funnel just to see all their content, see all their sales cycles, all their sales systems, all their material, everything. Like I'm looking at everything. I have some website guys that know how to track other websites, backlinks, and looking at, you know, what type of keywords they're using. And we use those keywords. And, you know, when we're doing Google searches, when we're doing search engine optimization and trying to rank on Google, we will look at what our competitors are doing. And that's just what it is. And I feel like I don't know what it would take for you not to want to do that, but I think it's very important that that we all, you know, pay really close attention to the successful companies in our industry and what they're doing, and spend time trying to figure out, you know, how we can make it better. For example, with us, we are smaller in comparison to some of the bigger franchises in my market. So we hear a lot of the complaints from leads that we get when they call in. They'll say, oh, you know, one of the things, and we definitely ask them that, like, what are some of the things that the your previous company has done that you're not excited about? And or what are some of the things that you've been kind of struggling with? And one thing that they always say that I hear all the time is that a lot of the home care companies can't keep consistent caregivers coming to the same house, you know, on a daily basis. And like, we thrive on that. You know, just knowing that we go into the market looking for caregivers who understand that, look, your job security is based on your commitment and you being available to these assignments that you sign up for. And that's kind of like our thing. And also being just a little less expensive. So we try to, our motto has always been quality service at affordable rates. Like, and that's where we can also compete, because you talk about a franchise and a company that has, you know, they may have two or three locations or, you know, all this heavy overhead. And it's like, they can't go but so low, no matter how much they want to. Just their business model won't allow them to go beneath a certain hourly rate. So that's where we can still eat. And we can go below those rates, like well below those rates, and still make good money because we don't have the same overhead. So all that to say that it's very important to, you know, oh, let me say this also. When you're going through their sales cycles and their marketing material, you can also get great ideas on some of the things that you can be doing as well. So definitely spend some time in your market, seeing what's going on, seeing who's who, and paying attention to what's going on in your industry is very important. Just don't, you know, you can't find everything on YouTube. YouTube don't know everything. You got to actually get on Google and do some research, make some phone calls, do some secret shopping, stuff like that. You have to get active. And get that information, because the more information you get, it's like being prepared for a battle. The more information you get, the better your chances are of winning. So so this is also important for your business plan, this entity structure you'll be using. Just basically what we were talking about, what type of entity you're going to use, whether it's going to be LLC, and get incorporated, like shares and all that stuff, S-Corp. It's quite a few different ones. I'm coaching a lot of people who are actually doing nonprofit organizations and trying to figure out how to do it as a nonprofit and, you know, get funding and different things like that. So there's definitely different entity structures you could use. But what I teach and what I focus on, don't get it twisted, is the profit side. I'm not good at like asking people or like, you know, going out here beating the drum, for begging up some money. That's not who I can't do that. So we focus on the profit side. Use an organizational chart to lay out who's in charge of what. Like, a lot of people don't do that. And then also you'll see, you know, people will be like, you know, if you don't have that in place, they'll be like, oh, it's just you, like you're a one-man show. And people like to see that you have some, it's just not you. You know, it's just not you. It's a team in place. It's just not you. All the buck doesn't, you know, stop with you. I mean, it's just not all about, you know, the beginning and the end is all you. And, you know, you're not developing, you don't really have no big, you know, you don't have nothing else going on but a piece of paper. You want to at least have some people who are committed to helping you get started, maybe even like a nurse, office manager, something you could put on that paper to show that you have a staff or people who are willing to work with you or help you develop this company and grow this company. So services, so I just put a couple home care services up here that you can add to your services. So these are some of the things that we offer. And it's just a list. And again, we have a list in the business in the box. If you just wanted some ideas on some of the services and what they are called and things like that, you'll see there. And then you can always just Google home care services or assisted living services, different things like that. And don't just put them like this, like bullet points. Also, you know, go into detail on each one, what actually, you know, your company will be doing specifically. When you gotta have a marketing section, and you want to make sure you're not just having some generic stuff in your business plan about marketing. You want to make sure that it sounds like, if somebody read it, that they'll be like, oh yeah, this might work. Or, you know, especially if they have like a business mind, they can understand, you know, the strategies and techniques that you plan on employing. Like the targets, the approaches, I put the community liaison, because that's the that's like the number one marketing person. Targeted direct marketing. These are some of the different things that we actually implement with facility sponsorship program. So these are just some marketing strategies and just some ideas. But all of these things you want to make sure it's in your marketing plan. Target, of course, approach, who's going to be doing it, some of the actual things, like we have personalized phone calls, emails, handwritten letters, birthday cards. And these are all going to the targets up here at the top, your hospital discharge planners, home health agency, hospices, skilled nurses, facilities, and stuff like that. These are your places where what we call the top referral sources. And you want to have all this information.
I have a question for you.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
Do you suggest that we have a community liaison starting out, or that we wait a little while to get one of those?
The sooner you can, the better. But you usually you are your community liaison when you first get started, because it's such a complicated position. For, you know, if somebody, if you've never managed anybody, it's just not managing the caregiver. It's a little bit more to it. Because it's a lot of, you know, communication and, you know, follow up and, you know, training and all of that stuff that goes along with a community liaison, a good one. But definitely the sooner you can afford one, the better.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully that was helpful. I don't know.
Yes.
So yeah, these are just some of the things you want to think about when you're developing your business plan. Just the marketing section is very important, because people want to know how you're going to be able to pull leads in. And not just saying, oh, I'm going to be marketing on Google, I'm going to run Facebook ads, or I'm going to do this. Like, that's so okay. Like, how? You know, like, that's so generic, and people say that all the time. But it's so much more to it. Funding. And you see, when it comes to the money, you got to be bankable first and foremost. And a lot of people don't understand that. They just want to think that America makes you think that anybody just can, you know, wake up in the morning and just run outside and just start a business. It's just not the case. You know, everybody can't start a business tomorrow. Some people just not ready to start a business. And once you start looking for funding, you'll realize how ready or not ready you are, you know, because even some of the basic things that you need to have in place, as far as just like having decent credit, a lot of people don't take care, you know, don't really, you know, believe in. And I was one of those people. So don't let me make anyone feel like they were, you know, I'm talking down any type of way, because I was totally, I was probably like a stone's throw from the homeless shelter before I figured it out. I was working like $9 hour jobs. So I came a long way, but I'm just saying that a lot of times when we get a great idea, we see an opportunity, we think that, okay, we could just turn around and start a business, when in all actuality, we need to, you know, work on some of the just basic stuff in our own lives, like managing our own finances. Credit and debt and paying things on time, or inquiries on your credit report and things like that. Savings, a lot of times we don't have savings. Americans are just notoriously terrible with saving. That's like, and I'm one of those Americans. So these are all things that you want to consider before you go into like a business. But then these things show up here when you're putting together your business plan. That's when it shows up, because whose credit are they going to look at? Whose savings are they going to look at? They can't look at your LLC, because there's nothing been established. It's just a piece of paper at this point. There's no assets attached to it. But so they're looking at your situation. So it's just something to consider as soon as possible. You know, what does your personal finances look like? And we're going to talk a little bit more about being bankable, but in that place, these funding, when you start to explain what you need, people are going to say, what do you have? And how do we know, based on your credit, you know, your character, and, you know, maybe people who, you know, may vouch for you, that you're the guy that we can give 20K to, or 50K to, or even 5K to, and expect to get it back, or get some kind of profit from it, you know, some interest. Hold on, I think I went off a little bit, but because I thought we had some more slides, maybe this was just it for this week. The required reading for this week would definitely be the EMIF Revisited, why most small businesses don't work and what to do about it. I think this is, if I'd have read this book before I started my business, I would have definitely made some different decisions. And I like I said at the beginning, I think I said that the reason why I started this training, oh no, I didn't say clearly, but the reason why I started this training, the number one reason was to show people just the things that is working for me now, and what I would have done differently if I would have started from now. What would I have done differently? So I'm showing you guys, when I tell you this stuff, I'm just showing you guys what I would have done differently, and what's working for me now today, like in real time. I know a lot of people, you know, out here coaching, but can they, you know, pull up some invoices, or do they really have a company that has active caregivers, and do they really have homes, or are they just, you know, playing on the internet? So that's the difference here. And I'm just showing you guys like exactly what's working for me, what's been working for me, and what I'd have done differently. So I'm saying all that to say, read this book if you haven't. And has anyone read this book?
Has anyone? I read it when you told us last week to get it. I read it in a day, one day.
In a day.
That book was good. Like it was talking to me. Like it was when he was saying there are three people fighting in this business, it was mm-hmm. me. Mm-hmm. Like I'm the Tell entrepreneur. Me a little bit about I'm not the technician. I'm the entrepreneur. That's my mindset. But I can't do it without the other two people. Like that book was good.
Okay, great. That's awesome. Yeah, because we just had like a little short session. Like, well, we didn't go too deep into the slides last week. So that's it. What we'll do is hold on, what's it here? Okay, yeah, that was it. Business plan outline. Okay, this was it. That was it. So what I want you guys to do is take the 12 areas, and I'm gonna post all these different things in the group so you'll see it. Like you'll be able to have access to like the actual documents. But I want you guys to go over the 12 areas of balance. I mean, I don't need to see it. You don't have to submit it or anything. Like none of this stuff is not like, this isn't like class. And I think one of the guys was asking me earlier, like where's his, he was asking me for some materials. I guess he thought I was gonna have like handouts and materials and like paperwork to go along with this. This isn't really that formal. This is more informal and me just, you know, creating an opportunity for you guys to, you know, see what's working for me, see what's been working for me. And again, try to avoid some of the pitfalls and the mistakes I've made. I didn't go as far as to make paperwork and like handouts or things like that, multiple choice questions and stuff like that, because I feel like, man, if that stuff was working, you know, in class and, you know, the classroom, if you can learn in the classroom, how to be an entrepreneur, it wouldn't be so many MBAs running around here driving Ubers. And I only say that because my homeboy is an MBA and he drives Uber. But I do definitely want you to print this stuff up, use it. If it makes sense to you, take some time with it. The 12 areas of balance, I enjoy it. Me and my partners, we discuss them from time to time, especially around this time of year. Like this time of year for me, it's like when I'm at my highest energy, because it's like every time, like I get into the whole New Year's resolution. I've been in the gym every day, you know what I mean? So it's like I get into the whole New Year thing. So like setting goals and, you know, mapping out my vision for the rest of the year. So this kind of stuff, like you guys starting at this point, is kind of exciting for me, because these are some of the things I would be thinking about anyway, or I'm thinking about anyway. So, the 12 areas of balance, print 30 sheets of that the two-page productivity planner and put them in like a little binder next to your bed. I would recommend doing, and just get, if you're a writer, and if not, just go ahead and install the Evernote app, and the template will be, you know, the little copy and paste. You could just put it in the app, and then you could do your productivity planner, your two-page productivity planner on your phone. And then you could just duplicate it every day. And then but the difference is, I mean, either way, you can save them, but it's kind of cool to see after you done went through a month, and you'll see like all the different things you've accomplished. Cause sometimes you could get like in your business and you can start really feeling down, like you haven't accomplished anything. You know, you'd be like, man, but if you look at the productivity planner, just because you're not making money or you don't have a client yet, or you're not, you know, up and running the way you feel like you should be at this point, you'll really be able to look back and say, man, I've accomplished a lot. You know, I remember, you know, so I'm on this path. And like the lady had said earlier, she said she started her journey, and it's a journey. And you'll read that in the E-Myth. They'll talk about how starting a business is more, it's going to be like almost a spiritual experience, because you're going to learn so much about who you are, and your business is going to be a direct reflection of who you are. And the more you grow and the better person, the better person you become, the better your business becomes. And it's kind of interesting like that. So writing it down and having a, like almost like a journal, the productivity planner could be like a journal for your company, and you'll see the progress and kind of see the journey as you go. And I know that may be corny or whatever, but I think it's important. If you haven't, make sure you file for a business entity, create a business plan outline. And if you haven't filed for licenses and all that stuff, I suggest you spending this week up until next week before next Tuesday, go ahead and get your license printed out, read it, get deep into it. If you don't understand something, bring it to the next class and we'll discuss it. Same with your guidelines and like your statutes and stuff like that relating to whatever license you're applying for, whether it's a home care service, home health aid, home health service, or assisted living, or group home, whatever it may be. Print the license out. Have that thing, like understand that license where you verbatim, understand the guidelines and the laws and the statutes connected to that license and this, what you about to be doing. You need to know your business. Like, don't think that, like, there's no reason for you to be on this call, spent money with me, but not have read your license and application completely and know your guidelines. You know what I'm saying? So make sure you're doing your part. Make sure you're doing the free things that you can do that are extremely important, because it's all very important, and it shouldn't be overlooked, and it's always overlooked. Because, I mean, sometimes you might read the guideline, you'd be like, man, I don't want no parts of this, you know, because you don't even know what you're getting yourself fully into. So just take some time, and that's it for tonight. I'm not going to hold you guys any later than that. It's 7:30 here, so if you guys have any questions, comments, or concerns, feel free to, we could talk for a bit here. And then also, please remember that you can always call me directly. Once you're in this program, it's this group training here weekly, but then also you can call me during the week, you know, between 9 to 5, and we can discuss your business, and I can help coach you directly where you're at. So you don't have to be like on this level or on at this stage in this program. We can call and work one-on-one. So, yeah. Are there any questions before we get off?
The only question I have is, Jerry, I don't have the slide that you, I know you're going to post them, but for my, like in a personal email, if I want to access something at work without being able to get to Facebook, is there a way you can forward these slides to me?
So you're saying like these actual PowerPoint slides?
Yeah.
Oh yes, definitely. And the things that I mentioned in the slides, like the yeah, I can get you all of that. Yes, directly. Just send me exactly. Just email me exactly what you need.
Okay.
So you can just go through the thing. I can't say I can send you some of the slides, but if I send you the whole slide, like it's like 100 of them. It's not even stuff that we're gonna cover. So I would have to pick them off and just kind of send them that way. But if you want specific things like things out of the business in the box or like the two-page productivity plan and things like that, I can send them to you as well. So just let me know, okay?
Email you, okay.
All right, thank you. Is there anybody else have anything before we get off of here? Any questions or thoughts?
I do, but I mean, I can ask after everybody gets off. It's not really.
No, go ahead. I mean, unless you just want to talk to me, it's fine. Either way.
No, it doesn't matter. I just didn't want to waste anybody's time.
You're not wasting anybody's
question. So I've kind of started and kind of not. You know, I have that one patient and I'm scared to market for more patients. So I'm not licensed yet. In Louisiana, you can only do companion care if you're not licensed. So I can't do like personal care. I can't bathe and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, you can't touch. So,
but should I still be marketing? Like, should I still be trying to get clients now or should I wait? Cause I've hired caregivers cause I got this little one client and you know, I'm having orientation this weekend and I only have this one patient. So should I be, and you know, I got us uniforms and cause I read the e-myth book. So okay. I want this all to have this uniform color and all that kind of stuff. So I got us uniforms and stuff, but I don't want to Y'all don't want to put the cart before the horse.
Definitely.
So I can do some stuff without the license, but I'm scared to put myself out there and then tell people I'm not licensed yet. And, you know, how would you go about it? Would you still be like, tell people this is what I do, even though I don't have a license yet, I can still do companion care and, you know.
Companion care is key. I would definitely stick with the companion care, and I would just communicate as I do companion care. You can't market that you do something that you're licensed to do and you're not licensed.
So right.
Can't tell anyone that you can only tell people that you're doing companion care because that's the one that you don't need license for. And you can't, right. Definitely can't market that, but you can get companion care clients and then, you can grow from there. And while you're working on your license. So that's the way I would approach it. I would
just do just market companion care.
Yeah, just do the companion care, yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Just to add up to your question, all my paperwork, my logo was assisted living. Then when I went and print out the application to get licensed, I already get it filled out, get it notarized.
You had to do it all over. Take the logo off, right?
I did take the logo off. And if you, I'm not sure if you're doing home care, but since I'm doing assisted living and I have the property, I listed right now as a group home. So I don't need a license for that. Has people calling me looking for a place to stay, actually renting room really if someone need a place to stay. So just not to push client away or miss opportunity, because you never know, that same companion client will become your life client in the future. So definitely I would interest.
Yeah, just do so. Just get started, whatever you do. Yeah.
Do not let this fear keep you.
Okay.
You realize you're doing exactly the same thing with the license, as long as you don't put that word out there, so you're gonna get in trouble with the state.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Is that it? If so, we're gonna get off of here. And you guys, I'll put the recording to come about 15 minutes after we get off here, so it'll be up in the group. I'll put it right up after it updates, so you guys have had this recording. And then also, if you have any more questions or anything, feel free to post them on the group. And if you have any document requests, just let me know and I'll post them in the group as well. All right.
Thank you. Have a good night.
All right, thank you.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Bye-bye.